God is concerned in these days that true churches of the living God be established. These are only established in the Spirit. And you must understand this, that it's only as the Holy Ghost is given and is allowed free, absolutely free passage and operation among us, that we shall ever be what God wants us to be. The whole notion of having one man always doing something is wrong. It's utterly foreign to Scripture. It's never in the mind of God. It's a proof of the fact that, alas, alas, through the dark ages, the Holy Ghost forsook, or at least the church forsook, the real teaching of the Spirit. And so the Holy Ghost was grieved, and men got out their own ideas of how to worship God. We have got to be in the place, beloved, where God is moving in these days to restore his church to what he wants her to be ere he comes back for her. Now, you here at Rora, and I know we're an increased, I nearly said a swollen number, over this weekend, so whatever churches or things or places or groups you come from, you must understand what is God's way. This you must be very concerned about. It isn't sufficient for you to know that you're saved or even filled with the Spirit or something like this. It is not sufficient. If God wanted just to make you right for heaven, he would have taken you straight away after he'd saved you. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Why did he leave you down here on the earth? That you might be formed up into true churches of the living God and serve him. This is the great reason that he wants. And I would like you just to turn with me now to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14. And look at verse 31. And tell God. You can shout it out if you like. Tell God whether you believe him when you read that verse. Tell him whether you believe him. Have you told him? You know what you're saying. You're definitely implicating yourself. Know what you're doing, and if you don't prophesy, then what? I didn't say every meeting you went to, I didn't say it must happen this morning, but the truth is there. You may, here's the Spirit of God talking to you, my brother and sister, you may, you can. If you truly are baptized in the Spirit, you can. You're able to. And here's the word of permission. You may. Well, do you? If not, you must take a rebuke. Not from me, but from God. You may all prophesy. One by one, that all may learn. Apparently, if only one prophesies or two prophesies, everybody won't learn. This is the wonder of it all. As you start to prophesy, you will learn how to prophesy. others will learn from you. There are some of you who won't receive, won't learn from me, not because I'm stupid or you're obtuse, but simply because God won't have it that way. This is the folly of man's systems. They put up one man, and often he isn't a prophet, he's only a preacher. A vast difference between being a preacher and a prophet. For prophecy is a completely unprepared thing. 98% of preaching is very thoroughly prepared. There is the odd 2% that isn't. Praise God. You can always tell too. One stereotyped, there's water flowing through it, but it's a canal. The other one's a river. That's natural, as it should be in God. The 2% is the river. You can tell when the river of God's flowed. I know there have to be feeder rivers into canals. And there's a little feeder stream, but the rest is a canal. Man-made. Cut out. Got its means of elevating it too, through the lock system. It can elevate, but it's not what God did. Even if you're a Scotsman and dote on the Caledonian Canal. But here's the great truth. We all must learn. And listen, beloved, if you have a gift from God, you've got to learn to use it. And you will not learn by keeping quiet. You won't learn by listening to others the use of the thing. You may learn something through them, but you won't learn how to use your gift by sitting back and doing nothing. You will in the end become a parasite. You know what a parasite is, don't you? It's something which lives off others. An ivy is a parasite. Fleas are parasites. That's right. I'm being quite true. This is right. Parasites. Bugs are parasites. They've got life in them of a sort. But they've got nothing virile, vigorous, independent in the sense that it doesn't have to cling to anything or live off anything else but just from Mother Earth. Or something of this, and comes up from a true nature. Now I want to talk to you along this line. Turn with me now to Galatians 4. Keep your finger in 1 Corinthians 14. In Galatians chapter 4 you have this. Verse 8. When you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. Alright, now you must understand, beloved, that all this thing is something of nature. That a true church is a people, or are a people, if you like, who have come from God's nature. They are naturally children of God, in the supernatural sense. They've had a true birth. A second one, of course. It's been a real one. And you've been brought into the nature of God. God is a God by nature. And you and I have got to understand this fact of nature. That when God baptizes us into the body of Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 12, we're now in a nature. Everything that's inside this body of mine is quite natural to me. Everything. It all goes to make up my nature and my humanity. I am baptized into the body of Christ. I am now in the nature of God. Something which is quite natural to him. And gifts of the Spirit must function naturally. Now take that little instruction that I gave earlier, and our dear brother submitted to it very graciously. And how true this is, so that all may learn. You see, it's a natural thing to pray. It's quite natural. Now see how naturally he passed into prophetic truth when he was praying. Do you see? And this thing is absolutely natural. You've got to get out of the idea, especially if you've been brought up in Pentecostal circles, where what you do is sit in a chair and you try to work up into what's called an anointing. And people go and all that. Now you've got to get that right out of your head. That's as foreign. It's as foreign to the Bible and it's as foreign to Jesus Christ. Now listen, beloved. If you can imagine Jesus Christ going and then saying verily, verily and all that, it's so, do you see that Jesus Christ is God's normal man? He's naturally God. He was God natural, and you've got to be like him. You understand that? It's supposed to be the sign that you're under a great big anointing or a pressure from God. Now shame on you if God's got to do such terrible things to press you nearly beyond endurance before you open your mouth. It's an indication of things, and I want to tell you that this is quite psychological. It's not spiritual at all. Get that quite clear. I want to talk from knowledge as well as from instruction in the Spirit. Paul often did that. You will find if you read his epistles. I sometimes have been, well, I don't know, God's come on me in a very wonderful way, but what I've learned to do is carry it. Don't go sloshing and splashing and rolling all over the place and huffing and puffing and making all these great big things that are supposed to prove that you're under a heavy and heavenly anointing from God. It's not. Nothing of the sort. You're supposed to move in this realm as naturally as a bird flies in the air and a fish swims in water. And it's to pass through this very natural state. Amen. And blessed is the company that can bring up natural children in the nature of God. Blessed are they. So that they can sweetly fly off into the realms of the Spirit and are carried away in God. And out can come these precious, precious things. Now, you young people who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and as I say often, the older ones for that matter, because age isn't always the indication in these, I mean the natural physical age, you must give out what starts to move in your heart. We had a word of exhortation through our brother, and it was an absolutely correct one. It was a word of exhortation that, and our sister gave us the key, you see, when she yielded, you receive freely, you're to give freely. And these things become keys to each other. And there is an opening up of the same revelation, a constancy of the word of God coming through. You see? And this is how it is to be. And it should pass from one to another. You may all prophesy one by one, every one of you. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Have you ever done it? Have you ever done it? Have you ever said something out to your brothers and sisters? Oh, well, I don't seem to get these sort of wonderful things, well, you're to let the other judge whether it's wonderful, that's all. You're to let the others judge whether it's wonderful. Everybody's got to learn. There's somebody in the meeting who will, the thing that you say, as simple as it is, will just do the trick. All these great big utterances that the sort of expert prophets are coming out with, they don't touch this little body over here. You see? Your simple utterance. So, it was a text in the Bible. Well, it's a very good way, as long as you don't think you've got to stick to Bible texts. The import of a text of Scripture should come out in your prophecy. What do you think your prophecy's got to be then? Something from Shakespeare or something you've learned from Milton? Of course it's got to be Bible-based. It hasn't got to be a string of texts put together. That's coming merely from the mind. But the truth of it will come through. And praise God, this is how you're to move. It's all based on the nature of God. Do you see that? And in the nature, in God, Father, Son and Holy Ghost, they just talk to one another. And they don't say, thus and thus saith the Lord, one to another. Do they? Do you think they do? Jesus used to say, Father, and away you go. You see, simple as that. And you're to come down to this simplicity. Don't try the thus and thus set formula that's so been nastily bred in certain circles. Don't try that. There's no formula about this. You just open your mouth and you say what's there. You let it come. Are you receiving this? I'm not putting ideas over. I'm instructing you in the Spirit and in the nature of God. And you're to get on with it. God will not accept excuses. Well, I feel bad this morning. He doesn't accept that. Of course, if you feel evil in spirit, I'm not meaning that kind of badness. You know, well, I've got a headache. Well, strangely enough, so have I. This morning, I just say, oh, well, and sit down. I shan't have it very long, it'll soon be gone. It's all right. But you, this business about giving in to feelings and all this nonsense, you've been baptized into another body. There aren't any headaches in that. The head's in heaven. That's right. That's the way to get rid of a sick headache. Push it up into glory. I've got rid of many. So many now I couldn't tell you. That way. You just push it up into glory. It's all right. Yeah? You learn how to do it. Now, you're to get on in this great business, beloved, in the nature of God. And you are to understand this. That God is naturally a God. And if you're a child of God, you are naturally a child of God. And of course, when you're children, you'll speak as children. Of course you will. You mustn't listen to these people that have been going for 10 years and think you've got to do that. You haven't. You've got to speak as a child. Do you understand that? It's because children tried to speak as the grown-ups that you get all this, you've been saved about 6 months, and that's when he stands up and he likes to give it force and whoa! Comes a great harsh voice. Why? Because he's out of nature. He's out of the nature of things. It's all so harmonious. It's all, if he'd only sit in his chair and say something. But you know, everybody is purporting to be a false Holy Ghost. You know, this is the way, walk ye in it. Do as I do. It's all wrong. you must relieve all these young people, you elders here, of all this burden. It's a false one. It's been built up in the traditions of men. Move out in utter simplicity. See, is it really true that God would speak through me? Surely, if it's prophecy, this is God speaking. That's a big thing. Yeah, I know. That's the wonder of it. Tis big. Tis big. It is. It's a big thing. But there it is. The body of Christ can do big things. This is it. It is big. But God's so wonderful that it's all simple and natural. It's all simple. And everything comes from this nature. And this is why, beloved, we fail so much. Because we don't realize what this means. Often as I talk to people, I realize that the basis of their trouble is that they haven't realized that this nature of God. I say to people, this can't happen to you. Do you really think God will let that happen to you? See? Well, I haven't thought of it like that. But don't you see, it's God's nature. God hasn't got that kind of nature to let this kind of thing happen to him. He hasn't got that kind of nature. He doesn't go and do all these horrible things and these sort of feelings and fences and ideas, and you've read such and such a book and all this business and you get all the wrong ideas. It's as lovely and lovely and lovely as possible. God just, well, he's just like that. He isn't like this thing that you're imagining. See, you've got to know God. This is your eternal life. To know him. Do you know his nature? Do you know his nature? See, now, only this will give you confidence. This line in the Bible will give you confidence. When you know his nature, you can start making confident statements about him. If you think I make confident statements about him, it's only because I know his nature. I know what he will do.
Amen.
See, he's that by nature. I know he'll set you free. I know he'll deliver you, you see. People come along and they want to be healed or delivered, etc. And I say, do you really think so, Mr. Lord? I say, yes, I know. Do you truly believe it? Yes, I believe that. Why? Why? Now here's the basis for faith. This is why people try and exercise faith and it don't work. They don't know the nature of God. Faith is that which brings God what God will naturally do. That's all faith is. When you believe his nature, that he's lovely, he's wonderful, and he's sweet, he couldn't let you die. He can't let the devil do this. He just can't. Don't you see? I mean, yeah, I may be an ogre, I may be a terrible, I just couldn't let anybody kill my grandson. Couldn't do it. I may be shocking, but I just couldn't do that. That's not natural to me. I couldn't let anybody kill my Danny. I couldn't let anybody stick pins in him. I couldn't let anybody do that. I couldn't do it. It's not natural, don't you see? Now you've got to see what's natural in God. You got that? God just can't let that darkness descend on you and plunge you into the pit. He cannot do it. Do you see that? You're his child. Will you see this? What God can do and what he can't. Oh, God can do anything. That's not true. Lots of things God can't do. I could tell you them one after another if I sort of spent 5 minutes to think, things that God can't do. Because of his nature, you see. For instance, I couldn't go out there and pick up a tree with my trunk because I'm not an elephant. I mean, they tell me I got rather but I couldn't do it. How I prove it to you? Why is this? I'm just not an elephant. I'm just a poor human being. Don't you see? Now God, it's like that with God. God has given prohibitions. God has given impossibilities in nature. You should learn this. They tell me that the parasite called a flea can jump, I don't know how many times, higher than its own height. I can't. I can't even jump my own height. You see, there are limitations, possibilities, and in God, there are things that he can't do. And what he can't do is let you down. He can't deny his word. He can't deny himself. That's three, straight away. He can't be the devil. Yeah. You go on, you can do all these, you can go through all these wonderful things. You've got to come to rest on God's nature. Now, this is what I do all the time, I tell you. I rest on God's nature. When problems come along, I don't bother to puzzle them. Now, I meet lots of people who've nearly got themselves inside a mental asylum by trying to think things out. I never do that. I just rest on God's nature. That's all I do. It's sweet. You don't have to do anything. And you know this is the big struggle that the Spirit of God's got with everybody. To get them to rest on the nature of God. You can't fail. You can't go down. Can't be done. Do you see? I mean, I could illustrate this from the Bible. I don't think I will. And now I want you to see this, that it passes through all this great realm of nature. That's why you're baptized into the body of Jesus Christ, but it's got to function naturally through you. Now, you may all prophesy one by one. Have you got any intention? Have you got the slightest intention of doing it? Oh, I haven't got the gift. Now, don't start telling lies. That's not true. Oh, but don't tell that. Well, either you're right or God. If he says you may all prophesy one by one, then you must have it. That's all there is in it. Oh, but I didn't know. No, I told you it was natural. What you wanted was a great cloud to come over and a big clap of thunder and a splash of lightning and woof, bang, now you've got the gift of prophecy. That's what you wanted. You wanted something equivalent to that. Then you said, oh, marvellous, marvellous, I rose up a mighty prophet and all that sort of thing. You tell me when Moses got the gift of prophecy then. Come on. When did Joseph get the gift of the word of wisdom? Come on, tell me. Well, it just seemed to start. That's right. It just seemed to start. It was all so natural and all so simple. We made such a fuss and a bother. Do you know why? Because you've got your eye on yourself. Go and die. Get out of the way. That's why God provided a cross. Get you crucified and gone. You're no good, you never have been. And you see, you're even messing up in the body of Christ. floundering about, making a big fuss, drawing attention to yourself and all this nonsense. Oh, but I'm one of these shy people. Well, so am I. I'm never so shy. Now listen to me. My wife's sitting there. She'll tell you. I come home and I say to her, I was embarrassed, dear. The person don't know. I didn't tell the person. I told my wife. But did he get embarrassed? Of course. I am a shy person. So you know what God does with shy persons? Keeps them going till they get over it. That's right. It's as easy as that. Oh, but I'm one of these retiring people. Well, shame on you. I shall never retire. I'm going to keep on till I'm 90. I was talking to God about it the other day. I said, Lord, I want you to keep on. Well, I don't know how... Well, 19, that's sort of a rough guess. You don't retire. You're not to be one of these retiring people. You don't want to get tied up in these phraseologies of men. You've got to come into that which is natural in God. Amen. Don't you see? If you do that, you wouldn't need a psychiatrist. This is what people don't understand. Now, it's natural in God just to keep on loving one another with God. They did. Father loves Jesus, and Jesus loves the Father. And the Holy Ghost, they all love one another. Yes. Yeah? Praise God. And they weren't shy and retiring. No. Jesus has always been going to and fro. Holy Ghost always been going to and fro. Father's always been moving in this great realm of love. And you've got to do it, beloved. You've got to do it. You've got to take yourself in hand. You've got to get to this. You know, well, if it's natural, why have you got to stand up then and say, got to, got to, got to? Well, that's the way we treat babies. I mean, we don't say to our... I don't say to my grandson, now then, Danny, you've got to walk, you've got to walk, you've got to walk. But he's got to. Well, it's natural for him to walk, that's right. But he'll have some assistance from his granddad now and again. Don't you see? You've got to. And if he starts to sit down, I'll say, no, stand up, come on, put your feet on the floor. Walk, when I get the opportunity. But this is the great thing. You've got to do it. Now, if I say to you, how many of you are going to do it? Come on, take your decision. You can ask me, or shout at me, are you going to do it? I'll soon tell you. Are you going to, or aren't you? Come on, tell God. I told you to read that verse and answer God. Are you going to do it? Good to hear you say yes, brother. Hey, wonderful. Get on with it. It's there. It's incipient. It's latent in you. Or else you're not in the body. Now, you're either in or you're out. Oh, but we don't all have the same gift. But he said you may all prophesy. You can all have that one. Now, is it you can't make, you mustn't write another Bible to suit your fantastic theories. You've got to believe God. You may all prophesy. Now, I say that Paul's guilty of deliberately misleading me if I haven't got the ability to do it. And if I find he's misleading me here, I can't trust him anywhere. That right or wrong? Do you prophesy, brother? I won't answer you. I won't ask you to answer it. You're to get on with it. You're to get... Because prophecy is this main stream of life in edification to build up the body. That's why. You've got to do it. So, well, I don't think I've got anything. Well, you better tell God and don't insult him in my ears. You go along to God. Tell him. Oh, but I haven't got it. Yes, you have, you know. But what you've done, you've been guilty of gross dereliction of duty and neglect. You're here to build up the body of Jesus Christ. That's what you're here for. You're not to come and say, oh, me, oh, I don't feel like it. I haven't got it. I this, I that, I that. What's the matter with your eye? It's overworked, this eye business. Now, you're to come and lose yourself in the love and body and ministry and function of God. That's where you're to lose yourself. You're to die that others might be built up. That's what Jesus Christ did. He died that you and I might live and be edified and built up into this great body. That's making some of you thinking it now. I'm a good mind to go around and start with Gordon and ask you each one individually. Some of you will start flapping when I get towards the back, won't you? I would hate to be a parasite living on the body of Christ. You are to function. Now listen, believe me, I'm telling you the truth. Then you ought to get on with it. Or else you've never been baptized in the Spirit. You've had what a denomination might have served up to you as that. I'm not doubting that you may have had some kind of experience. But this is how it results. It always results in the same thing. God moves always in the same way. Oh, there are differences of gifts and there are different ways of administering the gifts and there's different ways of doing all kinds of things. That's what I tell you. Don't get into the accepted formulae. Don't do that. You just move and administer in the way of the Spirit of God. Will you do that? Now supposing upon what our dear brother said, we say, well now we'll have one solid hour from now on. Oh, you say you can't start putting limits on the Spirit. No, and I want to expand it. We'll have two if necessary. But, I mean, there are a lot of us here this morning. And if we're all going to prophesy one by one, an hour's not long. Now you can see the idea why these great big churches are wrong, can't they? Well, there would always be a church meeting on. They'd never go home. If you've got 100, 500, 1,000, I have a church somewhere out in... my daughter wrote us a letter to say that they'd had somebody from, I've forgotten the country where it was, he'd come abroad and they had a church. He'd got a church of 4,000, they were pulling it down, they were going to build one whole 10,000. Well, it's wrong. Now you say, don't criticise what the Spirit of God's doing. Oh, the Spirit of God's saving souls, but I'll go wrong if 10,000 people go along and listen to one man. That's not what God wants. See, groups where you come and you minister and you gift, you see, and you all build up one another, and you're all doing something. No lazy cells, no cancerous cells in the body of Christ. No. No vestigial remains. You know what that is, don't you? Oh, well, if you don't, it doesn't matter. But it has to do with the theme of evolution. That's right. A vestigial remain from our old form. Nothing of that in Christ. We're all moving on in this great revelation of God. Well, are you going to do it? You're sure, aren't you? Let's get this very clear, in case you think there's been a mistake made. The Bible must confirm itself. Is that right? Right, 1 Corinthians 14. verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come to fellowship? Every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. And he's carrying on right down through from verse 26. Read it in the context where we got down to verse 31. It's all there. Verse 32, the spirits of the prophets, the subjects of the prophets. That's right. You've got to stir your spirit up to prophesy. It's subject to you.
Yeah.
Always, I thought that always meant that I've got to control them. That's what I'm having to do. If there hadn't been an interpretation to that tongue this morning, I was going to say, it was on the tip of my tongue, I am not going to interpret that. Don't wait for me. That's right. Would you refuse to interpret? Of course I would. Oh, but, yeah, well, I know because there's interpretation in the meeting. You've got to get on with it. You see? It's all got to be done. And your spirit is subject to you, and you walk in that door, and your spirit is subject to you. Listen, come in gloom. Your chin nearly touching the floor. Something's happened. Oh dear, you're coming into a company where the body of Christ, God get us past these things that ought to do no more than ruffle the surface and leave the profound deep, this oceanic rest inside, Jesus. This mighty immovability deep down inside. If you let things like that affect you, how can you say you're in the body of Christ properly? You've had an experience at all, that's all, but it didn't bring you in, really. You've got to be all brought in. Amen. Everything in. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And you come together, and you come, beloved, and everyone has got something to contribute. Of course, if there's a lot of people, sometimes it can only be a wonderful, radiant smile. You see, I don't say putting on a mask, but your inward spiritual health shining out from your countenance. Amen. Loving, moving, free, flowing. All so natural. Because it's perfectly natural. If anybody says anything in an unknown tongue, that God explains it to the rest. That's called interpretation. Perfectly natural. Of course it is. Amen. God's not so selfish just to understand things himself that somebody says he wants you to. He wants you to. He's not so selfish that if you love him, he says, always, you love everybody else too, he says. He's not selfish about our love. And we ought to move out in this wonderful realm of the Spirit. Do you come like this? There are three things that must be absolutely natural in every Christian, and there are three P's. They are not quite alike as peas in a pod, but they are three peas. And here they are. Prayer. That's natural. That should be absolutely natural. Praise. That must be absolutely natural. That's right. Prophecy. So must that. Understand that prophecy is the fundamental stream of communication in the body of Christ. And it is for edification. It may fall on your ears as exhortation, revelation, instruction. Doesn't matter how it falls on your ears, it's this lovely deep flowing of the stream of the Spirit, bringing into your spirit these things, building you up. Now, have you all got this clear? Anybody in a fog? Supposing I said, now, all of you that are going to get into this and are going to do it, stand up. Would you be on your feet? Well, all right. Well, when? When are you going to do it? When? That's right, brother. That's right. Should be as spontaneous as that. Say, but you can't turn these things on. Now listen, beloved. You may prophesy at any time. I was talking to someone not so long ago, and this was about tongues, you know, this one's the great big sort of thing over around. All the battles are 4 pound tongues. And I said to this person, I could speak in tongues now. I was carrying on a deep, earnest conversation. I said, I could speak in tongues. They said, what? Of course I can.
Lord.
Why don't you then? Oh, I don't know. You can't turn it on in that sense, yet you can. You got this. Yet you can, but you can't. this is the great contradiction of it. You're able to, but there's a sort of a sense of rightness in the spirit. That's right. And it's so natural that you move in this sense of rightness. This is how natural it is. You move in this sense of a proper relationship. Everything's right. There's a time for everything under the sun. That's right. You see, though our head's above the sun in heaven, the body's on the earth. And there's a time for it. It isn't a boast when you say, I can speak in tongues. You say, well, could you have interpreted that tongue this morning? Of course I could. You say, what? Surely God comes on one man to do it. He comes on us all. Say, is that true? Well, look here, 1 Corinthians 14. It's all here. It's all here, beloved. God's given us the handbook of it. It's all here. Nobody need be wrong about this. Listen, here it is. Verse 36. What? Came the word of God out from you? Or came it unto you? Yes, that's right, it came to me. But not only you. The word of God didn't come out from me. It came from my head. It came from Jesus. I'm a vehicle of it. It came to me, but not me only. That interpretation didn't come to Brother Avery only. God wants to make sure it's given. And if one's fiddling about with a bad head or don't feel like it, or is that a row with his wife or something, God makes sure that the message will come just the same. Don't you see? I think God's eminently sane. He seems quite a natural, sane God to me. It all seems right to me, this. It isn't right that a meeting should turn on one man if he happens to feel whether he got a bit tummish or bilious this morning. Doesn't turn on that. Or whether he's going to be made redundant next week, don't turn on that. Why should his redundancy affect the body of Christ? Why should it? You tell me. You can't give me one sane reason. And stop the nonsense. Get on with it. When did you prophesy last, brother, I'm looking at now? And I look at some of you sisters, when did you prophesy last? Isn't he a rude man staring in the eye? Do you know one of the rudest things that's ever happened on this earth? Jesus Christ being nailed naked on a tree. That was rude enough, wasn't it? Let's have some of this rudeness. Just getting stark, bare, down to basic facts in the spirit. When did you prophesy last? That's it. and the body of Christ languishes, and the food it ought to have is never given. It's not edified. And it gets swayed by people, and they meet together, teachers, having itching ears. I could be one of your favorite reliefs for itching. You ought to get on with it. I am not an itching powder. That's right. You ought to get on with it. Praise the Lord. When did you prophesy last? When did you move in the Spirit? You may all do it. Well, I don't believe I can. Now, what you want to do is go straight to your room and have it out with God. Don't stop here talking to people. Go to your room. And if there's six in your room, go and find a tree out there and have it out with God. Don't you eat. Don't you dare eat. Don't you have lunch. Settle it with God. This is the most important thing in the world, isn't whether you fill your stomach with stew. It's whether you edify the body of Christ. That's right. Hallelujah. Oh, you say, am I expected to do this? Glory. It wonderful that God's got great expectations for us. Isn't it a thrill that he should expect this of us? Why, that might be Jesus Christ himself. Well, don't you realize that it's in his nature he's been brought forth? And for the development of his personality, the Holy Ghost has come to you. And that all being built together in love, and all harmoniously functioning, what a glorious symphony of music goes up to God this morning. Eh? And Christ, who has the ears in his head, can hear his body all in tune. Glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now that's what Jesus wants. If you've not been baptized in the Spirit, you won't have a clue of what I'm saying. Not a clue. If you are baptized in the Spirit, then you must take a reproof if the reproof is needed. Doesn't matter who or what you are, you're to be in. All right, now get on with it. It's only 1:15.
That's right, brother. And if it's healing, you can be healed. And if it's a word of wisdom, you can have that. Or knowledge, well, you can have that. Praise God. It's all so glorious. They all come on the prophetic stream. Hallelujah. You will notice it was the prophets of old who did the miracles and had the gifts of healing. All comes on the prophetic stream.
Yeah. Is the normal prophecy level for the upbuilding of the body. All the babes participate in it. All right? Everybody partakes. Everybody makes their contribution. There is another kind of prophecy ministry which comes through if you have your Bibles open. In verse 6 of 1 Corinthians 14, you're learning from life, not merely from the Bible. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine? And so you see there is a great fourfold basis for the larger ministries in the Spirit. Whether you speak in tongues or whether you speak in your English, if English happens to be your mother tongue, when God is going to impart real teaching, instruction, through a particular vessel, this is the line along which it comes. This is that which starts on the normal prophetic line and basis upon which you've been functioning now, and then God makes a set person in the church. You get this in the 12th chapter. There are those that are set in the church, verse 28. In verse 27, in the 12th chapter it says, you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Every particular member has its function, and God sets some in the church. First, apostles. Secondly, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles, and so on. He sets people and sets gifts and functions in the church. You will learn more about this as you go on. But as surely as you let go this basic prophetic stream where everybody partakes, you will lose the others. That's why we haven't got the apostles and prophets. They haven't been fed on the milk yet. Everybody's wanting to be apostles and prophets and evangelists, and we open schools and take the Bible schools and teach them, if you please, instead of growing naturally in the body. The thing's gone all wrong. And notice this too, beloved, that most churches, by what's been going on here this morning, are killing off their young babes. Most churches, because they don't allow this. And so your young members are led astray from the womb, to use a scriptural phrase, instead of being taught and led in by the Spirit. Amen. Now, if you are a child of God, and I don't know you all, of course, so I'm allowed to put the word if in, you should be delighting to do this. Absolutely rejoicing. Moving it. And let's kill this notion that's got hold of Pentecost, shall we? I mean the denomination now. About because people come to me at times and they say, oh, Mr. North, because they come to some of the meetings where I am, and perhaps there might be 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 messages in tongues and interpretations, and then perhaps 5 or 6 prophecies, and they come out and say, oh, in our church we only have 2 messages in tongues and 3, and then no more. Pastor stops it, and he's got a verse for it. Here's the verse. He thinks he's right. It says, verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 14, it says, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done. Pause before you read unto edifying. They've got to be done, in other words. Well, do them. We're not going to have a magician here waving a wand to do it. You're to do it. Let all things be done. In case you think that's a slip of a pen, read the last verse of the chapter. Let all things be done. Glory. Well, you can't expect one man to do all things. You'll kill him. Let all things be done. And to edifying, decently and in order. Amen. God's order, by the way, you're under orders. Now then, if any man, verse 27, speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by 2, or at the most by 3, and that by course, and let one interpret, you see? And it's on this verse that they say, you mustn't have more than 3 messages in tongues. That proves you're in the flesh or you're out of the spirit. That's a lot of claptrap. It's deliberate misreading of the scriptures. That's not what that verse is saying. Now you read it. Why should you have to rely on my brains then, if I had any? You've got the same spirit. Do you really think that's what that verse means? You read it a dozen times in the context. Does it mean that? That's right. He's got it. That's right. Brother's got it here. You didn't hear it, did you? Well, you should have come to the same conclusion, same spirit here, same Bible. That's a lot of nonsense, all that business. We could have an hour of it. 2 hours of it. No preaching. Oh, what, no preaching? Well, do you know we had a meeting once in Bradford where we stood up to sing? And we started on Wesley's hymns, and we sang Wesley's hymns for an hour and a half, pronounced the benediction and went home. That's what we did. But God was there. God was there. The ministry was all done. We stood up for an hour and a half and sang. We were in the spirit, and we all went home. They come together for a Bible study, poor things. Oh, let's get out of this bondage.
What does that verse mean?
Well, what do you think it means? Do you think it means what the
church? It just occurred to me that it might mean two or three together.
That's right.
Yes, two or three together.
That's right, from one person. That's right. You've got it, sister. Not in a meeting. You've got it. That's what Bruce said. From one, he said, lifting up. That's right. It doesn't mean it's not the way a meeting's got to be regulated. You see, it's all gone astray on a misinterpretation.
Is that everybody's got that wrong interpretation?
Of course they have, sister. That's right. This is why we are needing apostles and teachers in the churches, to teach them the truth, set them free, get them out of the shackles of denominationalism.
Well, if you have two or three speaking together, what about the interpretation?
Let one interpret.
Isn't that going to sound a bit...
No, that's okay. No. No, it doesn't mean two or three speaking together. It says, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three unknown tongues.
Yes. Yes.
In the one person.
Yes.
That's right. You see, I have the ability to speak in ever so many tongues. Well, if I start, let's imagine now, let's use human tongues. I started in Hindi, switched to Urdu, went to French, and then to Sanskrit. God's not the author of confusion. You've got to learn to use your gift to move along in this tremendous line in the spirit. And better than giving one great long lengthy thing in tongues that might, as I hinted a little earlier, don't be overcome by the length of the message, better stop. Let have some interpretation, then again interpretation, then again an interpretation. All right. That'll stop somebody getting bored to tears while you're having 10 minutes in the tongue. So whatever's going on here, I can't stand this, you see. Excuse me being a bit humorous about it, but it's right. So that the thing is going on, and that could carry on right through a meeting, if the Spirit is speaking. You see? And this is the way God wants. He doesn't want all to be tongues and interpretation. He doesn't particularly want it all to be prophecy. Or anything like that. But the proper, flowing, functioning of the Spirit of God. You all got this. Any of you youngsters here not understanding this? Because you are really the functioning body at Rory, you see. You youngsters have got to understand this. You oldsters too. The function. And anywhere else. This is the way of the Spirit of God. Amen. You are not to come into meetings weighed down because you didn't pass your A levels or because somebody in your office wasn't very nice to you today. So, oh, well, I've had the burden of all today's work. Well, bless it. Push your head up into the heavens and thy glory. So it's all very well for you, that's all you do. Ah, well. Now you listen to me. I learned this when I worked for 12 to 18 hours a day in our own business. I also have been through it and understand it. These things have got, you've got to get above that. If I could tell you how our business had to be built up when we had no money at all, we could have been so weighed down and broken, my dear wife and I, that we could have brought gloom into the meetings. But strange enough, we never knew what gloom was. Is that right, dear? We never knew what gloom was. It's not the natural state for Christians.
No.
We knew God. God gave us a right entrance into all these things. We didn't need a series of people ministering to us to bring us out of some initial bad stage or something. This is the truth. You go on with God and you know God's nature and relax. The devil can't do anything with you. He can't do it. He might just as well try and cast God into the pit if you're a child of God. Don't you see? He knows better than to do that. Well, when God got the weakest it was possible to be, a baby in his own creation, and then hung naked on a cross, he beat the devil single-handed. So well, that was that. And we're in this great move of God. Well, you had a nice half hour, if not an hour. I think probably we ought to call to a close and allow time for you to get out under that tree somewhere up in your room if you're not right with God on these lines, and get yourself right and move on into it and be in the ease of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Now, nobody's had to move this morning because somebody's cracked a whip or anything like that. God isn't that kind of a God. It's all sweet and precious and lovely. And when God has to give you a little tap, if he taps you on that cheek, he kisses you on the other one. Do you understand?
Sure.
That's right.
Yes.
That's the God that I know.
Yes.
And he just goes on with it. Hallelujah.